Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私はヘブルで、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
Over my sister.
Shalom, shalom, my sisters, bless you, each and every one of you, Sister Ashley here tonight. Thank you so much for your time. Thank the Most High for adding any of you or all of you to tonight's show. Bless you again and again for your faithfulness to this ministry, for your giving, for your offerings, your support, especially your prayers for our shepherd and for the sheep of his flock. Thank you, Israel, for everyone who has turned out to the Detroit, Michigan meeting, I should say, to the Great Awakening. Bless you. We'll talk a little bit about it as we open up tonight. So give me some sound checks if you are able. Give me a 10 if you are able to hear me clearly. And let's go to Georgia to my sister and friend and co-host for tonight, Sister Jennifer. Let's get a sound check, my sister. Bless you.
Bless you, Sister Ashley, and shalom to all of you daughters of Zion who are listening. It's an honor once again to be on this episode of Sister to Sister, and I thank you so much for tuning in. I pray everyone can hear me. I'm in the process of pulling the chat room up now, but if you cannot hear me, and we need to make adjustments, then please note that in the chat room so that we can go forward. And that's all I have, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. I see 10s, 10 on both. Thank y'all so much. Hallelujah. I hope everyone's doing well. I hope you're prospering in body, soul, mind, every part of you. I hope you're getting answers. I hope you're seeking the Father diligently, making time to fast and seek his face now while we have things that we need, like amenities, while we have things that are convenient to us. While we have fellowships and friendships, I hope that you're all reaching out. Welcome to anyone who is new to our show. We do this live weekly. It is usually always Jennifer and myself and oftentimes a third party. So thank you again for your special time. To anyone who is aged and experienced in the Word, bless you. Thanks for tuning in. And to any of our mothers, our aged women teaching modesty and meekness, thank you so much for what you do. Let's give acknowledgments first and foremost to our Father. I want to thank him for the blood of the Messiah that continually purges and cleanses myself, my spirit, everything about me, and for his promises to finish what he started, which many years ago I didn't know the cost. I didn't know what it would take. I didn't know how much of me I needed to give up, but I'm very, very thankful to continually die daily, and for his promise to finish what he started. So I thank our Father for not allowing me to deviate from him or from his body or his purpose for me. I thank him for not allowing me to have my way or have him my way. I'm very thankful for just the command of submission for my spirit. I'm thankful for the awakening. I'm very thankful to everyone who is truly being awakened, and I mean those that are awake and called to change, those that are chosen and called to change. It's one thing to, you know, be awakened to the Word and enlightened in a way that you never have, but to be called and set apart or to come out of her and to live separately is a completely different, you know, change requirement. So I'm very thankful to the Father for that. I'm thankful to the Father for my husband, who knows his role as a father, as a mentor, as a deacon. I'm very thankful for his strength, his gentleness, his commands, his everything that he embraces, you know, the direction that he gives, the encouragement he gives, the rebukes, whatever I need at the time, whatever his children need, whatever the body needs. He's always been a servant, thankful to know him. Hallelujah. I'm thankful to be a mother. And I'm very, very thankful to have children, something that in my earlier years I didn't long for or desire, but something now that I embrace, and I wouldn't know what life would be like without that experience and that nurturing experience. I'm very, very grateful. So I thank the Father for our shepherd who is being called all over the country, who continually has a balance between family, you know, life, and the ministry, just continually doing his calling and feeding the sheep. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the conference and for the future gatherings that the Father will continue to gather his people. I'm excited about the last Israelite or the last Gentile being called into the covenant so that we may all be sealed and ready as a bride for our groom to return. I'm thankful tonight for our security team. Very, very grateful. I wanted to say thank you so much to every one of you brothers, as well as wives who supported the men that had to leave and support our pastor in such a way. Very thankful for the feeling of security as a woman within this ministry. I can go on and on about that, but special thank yous to every single one of you. If you were to ever hear this show, thank you so much for being willing to lay down your life for your friend, your brother, and our pastor. It doesn't go unnoticed. It's a very serious calling, and I'm very, very thankful for it. Hallelujah. Thankful to Granny Barb tonight for her example of hospitality in my life and for her endless, endless love towards the Father. Hallelujah. That's it. I can make a show out of my Thanksgiving, and I won't do it. Sister Jennifer, go ahead and share your heart.
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. First and foremost, I just want to thank the Most High for just continually sustaining us as his people and for showing us his order, what his order is and what his order looks like, and just allowing us to walk in a way that we never knew in such a perverse world that just switches roles, you know, and for covering us by placing his law in our hearts. You know, again, I'm so thankful for his order, because without it, we would look just like the world. We would be just like the world. We'd have on a skirt, a head cover, but we'd be out of order, and we would look just like the world that we're trying to come out of. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, just a true, righteous husband who understands how to love a woman and never looking for selfish gain, selfish pleasure, always looking to bless Israel, you know, to provide for his family, living an upright life, removing all excuses, and always setting a righteous example. You know, Sister Ashley, I'm going to deviate just a little bit. You know, there were just some things sometimes you hear about straightway women, and, you know, sometimes you hear about how the women of straightway, they must not have a voice, or, you know, they may not be able to speak up, or, you know, things like that. And when I, you know, Sister Ashley, I'm sure you feel the same way. When you look at your husband, and when I look at my husband, and when we look at the men at Straightway, we know that that's not true, because we live, you know, we live with these men. And so I just want to put out there how selfless these men are, you know, and how their love for the Most High just truly shows. They don't have to go around you know, saying how much they love the Most High, because they actually show it. And so that's what I see in my head, Elder Rufus. I see a true love for Yah, and I'm so grateful and so thankful for that. And finally, I want to acknowledge Pastor Dow, the Hebrew Man of the Year, for showing men how to be men so that women can know how to be women. And thank you, Pastor Dow, for your righteous life, your righteous example that really rebukes the unrighteous without saying anything at all. And Sister Ashley, I would like to thank, you know, the presence of the men at Straightway, the security team. Some may call it puffed up. Some may call it prideful. You know, what I saw was true men. And I appreciate every man that protected the people and protected the man of Yah. And that's all I have.
Hallelujah, it's true. We don't know what could have or would have happened without him. So I'm thankful for Pastor's obedience to the voice, the direction that he hears, you know, to gather the brethren together and to do such a thing. You know, in this ministry, we are actually taught reverence, which is a completely new concept to all of you, as well as to myself. Unless you grew up in a family that was not broken. Oh, and pause. I have just a slight cold that I'm overcoming, so you'll hear just a difference in my voice tonight. That's what's going on, if you were wondering. But yeah, so our interactions in our life, from male to female, or from female to female, has been cultivated by this society that we live in. You know, what they allow or don't allow, or just literally they allow it all, you know. So we create in our minds how we should function as females. And so it's a beautiful thing to get the direction that this ministry offers you, because it's very liberating, it's very freeing. For someone to say that we don't have a voice, I really don't. I'm not bothered by those statements at all. Because our life as women coming from the American culture has to change so much. And on the outside looking in, you would clearly think that we've given up so much, sacrificed so much, and we've lost our voice. But it's the opposite. You gain so much freedom. You know, for myself, you gain so much freedom in your daily life that you're constantly hoping and praying for direction, that the Father would lead you always to avoid sin and to avoid pitfalls and snares and things to fall in, because you have so much liberty in Christ, you know, and you want him to keep your feet on straight street. So it's the opposite, but I understand women who view us differently. You know, what we do is we keep silent in the church and we don't usurp authority over men. That's what we do. And that's a beautiful, freeing thing, right? Jennifer, any words?
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. It's very freeing to be in the order of Yah. There's so much safety when you're in his order. And it may seem completely different, you know, like a completely different way to live than the way that we've been taught in this society. And it is different. So, but there's so much safety and so much peace in it. And you just don't know it until you've actually personally experienced it. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. So I have a lot of thoughts that are kind of directing me for different types of relationships and stuff. So maybe that's how we need to go. I'm thinking we'll go ahead and kick off tonight's show, and I want to open up the phone lines. We'll kind of just chat in between the calls, and maybe it won't even be a long show. I have two really, really awesome emails to read. I'm going to give you the guest call in now. It's 310-982-4226. 310-982-4226. You're going to have to press 1 if you want to be in our caller queue, which means I'm going to see your number pop up and I'm going to be able to answer you. But let's go this direction for a moment. And I have some videos. So going back to our interactions and our relationships, first of all, in this society, we have majority monogamous relationships where you have one husband, one wife. For some individuals, that was the norm. That was my family growing up, too. It's the most traditional. It's easy for children to understand. So it's often correlated with one mom, one dad, right? So it's monogamous. It's easy for your mind to grasp. And then you have, I think they call it, see, this is society that names all these things, but it's polyamorous, which is you have more than one romantic relationship at a time. So you would have a primary partner, and you would have a secondary partner, and you would have as many partners as you desire. So there's like a rank. You're going to call your first one first, and you're only going to settle for your lesser one when he or she's not available kind of thing. That's polyamorous, where you're actually just changing your romantic relationship according to your needs. So then you have open relationships, and these are all, this is what's in our conscious. This is what we have exposed to us, right? So you have open relationships. And an open relationship is a lot of my friends in college, right? Because this allows both partners to share physical intimacy with anyone they want, right? But you still have that open relationship with this primary partner, and you share emotional connections with the primary partner. You can have as many sexual partners as you want, but only one romantic emotional partner. So you knew he and she was together, but you knew he was sleeping with her and her, and she was with him and him. But together and, you know, at parties and on dates and in clubs, et cetera, those two were together. They were the primary, they were the open relationship. As long as you were telling me who you were sexually with, and as long as I'm telling you, then we're in the clear. Right? And so mentally, you grow up, if you grow up in public systems, public school systems, and if you grow up in this society, you're going to see this interaction, and it's just going to be a norm. Like, nothing in you is going to check it, you know, especially if you don't have the Holy Spirit. So then there's, of course, long-distance relationships, and somebody's in jail or somebody's going off to college, and you have this feel-good emotional connection. You may or may not be sexual partners. But you easily are swayed to love this person because of the I miss you factor. You know, you're away from them, they're away from you, and so it's really easy to get that oxytocin rush in your mind that says, hey, I'm gonna miss you, I love you, so you're gonna talk a lot. Maybe you're intimate, maybe you're not. That happens a lot. And you have asexual relationships. I only got a few more coming to my mind, Jennifer. But you have asexual relationships where, you know, you want to be wined and dined. You want to cuddle. You want to hug. You want to be massaged. You want to be romantic with someone. It can be woman to woman, man to man, or male to female. In this society, an asexual relationship basically means never have sex ever. Neither party wants it. But you share your whole life with them, share your bed with them, sleep beside of them if you want to. So the last two, I think, would be like a casual sex relationship or friends with benefits. And I'm going somewhere with this, y'all, because we are going to go back to the Hebrews to Negroes meeting and the Great Awakening. But with casual sex and with friends with benefits, as they say, it's sex when you want it and that's it. You know, it's sex when you want it, that's it. There's no emotions attached. There's no sincere covenant agreement, I should say, verbally, that's going to keep you guys together. And then, you know, the friends with benefits is that there's no relationship, no secrecy, no emotions, just sex. Just sex. Pastor did a great video. Let's put a plug in for Patreon. He did a great video on Patreon covering just sex, right? So I said all this to say, you see the scramble? You see the scramble that actually goes on psychologically and mentally when we view all these types of relationships and then you build in your conscious what you accept and what you don't. And because we weren't in our land and Yah's laws have not ruled our land, we haven't followed his divine direction for marriage and for a covenant relationship. And so as I explain, hopefully slow enough to you, these types of relationships, I pray that we can all embrace the sincere repentance that has to come forth from your being to learn the ways of Yah and to accept him, because you've had all these things teaching you, teaching your mind. And so when you see something that is of Yah, but you haven't heard of it, or you hear of something that's of Yah, polygyny, maybe, or whatever kind of, you know, the father is just so genuine in his love for his bride. So I say all that just to be really grateful for this ministry that's painting a very clear picture of what relationships are supposed to be like. And only some of you will be able to see that clear picture. Some of you will be able to walk in it and embrace it and love it, while others will still deny what the Father is trying to do through our men. Sister Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, that was a really good breakdown. And, you know, the first step is to really be honest and to acknowledge your past lifestyle, acknowledge, you know, the things that we were in, that they were sin. You know, you talked about these long-distance relationships, the emotional relationships, the physical only, you know, where there's just sex, the casual sex, the no sex, but it's all emotional. You know, in one of the videos that Pastor Dial and Elder Rufus made, they talked about really giving yourself to Yah. And if you're unable to acknowledge your past as sin, you know, exactly what it was is sin, then you're not going to be set free. You're not going to be able to love Yahweh with all your heart or with all your soul or with all your mind, because, you know, these things are, they're just so clouded. And this is why when Yah's way comes along, it's hard for you to accept. Sister Ashley, you mentioned polygyny. You know, and instead of getting puffed up when polygyny is mentioned or rejecting it, you know, how about going back to the beginning, you know, the things that you were involved in, and acknowledging those things as sin and purging those things from your mind and from your heart and from your soul so that you can give Yah all of you. Sister Ashley?
Very good. While we have some time, we're just building the show anyway, not really sure which direction it's going to fall. Let's play a video from Pastor and our Elder Rufus. This one's titled Women Receiving Too Much DNA from Many Men. It's 11 minutes long. I'm going to play it all. Maybe I'll pause if there's any interjecting that we need to do. This is not something I previously planned, so we'll see how it goes. My sisters, thanks for tuning in again. Let's see what our shepherd and elder has to say.
Good evening, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, citizens of YouTube. This is Pastor Dow. This is Elder Rufus. We're having a discussion here in Detroit, Michigan right now, and one of the things we're discussing is about the fragmentation of the souls of women and how it came about. You know, again, I know that many people don't think that sex is a spiritual act, but it is. It's never just sex. For all you that are making that mistake out there, there's something going on. See, the man has the seed, the woman is the field. And it's even against Torah to mix and mingle seed into one field. So if that's the way it is naturally, spiritually, the problem that we're having today of this role reversal is because we have a man or many men inserting their DNA into one woman, thereby bringing about a state of confusion. You know, many times we wonder why we see a woman that will be bold enough, all of a sudden she'll change the channel. And she'll be bold enough to stand up in front of a man and talk to him as a man, not knowing that the reason why she's doing that is because of that strand of DNA she received from Jerry. Mm-hmm. All right? And then she'll go back to being feminine and stuff, and the next thing you know, she'll end up displaying another trait from Philip or another trait from John, because she's not designed to have all this mixture. And that's the reason why women in their mind today are literally off point and halfway crazy, because you don't never know at any given time who you're talking to or what personality you're dealing with, because women are built on an emotional base and men deal with facts, okay? So when they're in their emotions, you don't never know at any given time which personality that you're dealing with, because you've had too much of a man's DNA inserted inside of you. So Elder Rufus and I are going to discuss this for a moment to hopefully try to bring clarity to what's going on and the reason why we have the feminization of society today. Because we're dealing with a role reversal here. And women, you really, truly got to listen to me. If you don't want a fragmented mind, if you don't want to be having unstable emotions and all over the place for 1 minute, one day you do good, the next minute you're crazy. One day you're doing good, the next minute you're talking to a man as if you are a man and standing up him nose to nose like a man. You were created as the weaker vessel. That's what the book says. We live by the book. That's the reason why my channel says Pastor Dowell. All right? So you're not designed to function like a man. You have a role that you have to be in. A man has a role he has to be in. But you have got to stop allowing men or getting into your emotions thinking that the next man could be your husband, because you're putting out. And when you're putting out, you're putting in something inside of you that's going to be with you for the rest of your days unless you know about deliverance. And there ain't too many ministries out here that know about deliverance. They talk about it, but they don't be about it. They don't know what it means to cast spirits out. They don't know what it means to purge the mind, purge the conscience, purge the body, and purge the spirit. Everybody don't have that knowledge. Everybody does it. We've got that knowledge in order to help to bring a stillness and a soundness to women, but everybody don't have it. So, Elder Rufus, you and I know that the problem is spiritual.
Yes, sir.
We know that the problem is that when a woman has too many strands of a man's, different men's DNA in it, nothing wrong with her having one man, because she actually conforms to that man. She actually molds to that man. But if she has 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 men that has done put their DNA in her, she's a basket case. What says you?
Yeah, and I'll go even higher with the women you're dealing with today, 100, 150, 200, 250, 300. These women, that dating thing is not even a fad. It's a lifestyle. And you're talking to these women starting this lifestyle in their teens, going all the way up to their 30s and 40s. Imagine some of these women sleeping with four, five men every week, every month. You see what I'm saying? Look at those numbers just add up. And the problem, again, like you've been saying, is you become that. These are spirits being injected in you. So you got all these different spirits reacting at different times in your life.
Multiple personalities.
Yeah. And because it's...
All right, let's pause for a moment. It's going to add anyway. What's your thoughts, Sister Jennifer?
Sister Ashley, there's so much that was said. And, you know, so many times you women, you know, we blame hormones. You know, they talked about different characteristics, different personality traits, different things that happen. to a woman when you've had too much DNA inserted in you. And, you know, it's so easy to blame something else. You know, we want to take a pill. We want to take a tincture. We want to know what herbs are going to work. But that is not going to set you free. You cannot fix spiritual problems with natural methods. You know, if you're dealing with spiritual problems, you're going to have to deal with those things spiritually. You can't just dress up the outside and not deal with the inside. This is exactly what we talked about last week. So you have to understand how to purge all that from you. You have to understand deliverance. You have to understand repentance. You have to understand confessions so that you can be set free and so that you don't pass those curses along to the generations that come behind you. Sister Ashley?
Well said. Let's go back to this video.
It's added on, you know, because the devil, hell has enlarged in itself. Why? For a reason. Sin abounds for a reason. Mm-hmm. It's going to get greater. So that's how you can be a small little attitude woman today, a big little attitude, a great attitude, a huge attitude now. It's going to just keep constantly getting worse because you don't have a solution and you don't have the answer. We have that in deliverance. We have that in purging. We have that in getting set free and getting healed because there's a lot of healing that has to go place. When you're talking about sending out angels to grab hold of the fragmented pieces of a person's soul, mm-hmm. that's what's being saved. Mm-hmm. That soul is what's being saved.
Exactly.
And you need your soul whole to fulfill the text that tells you to love Yah with your spirit, soul, and body.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it if half your soul is scattered all over the region that you're born in.
Right.
You haven't slept with everybody in the region.
Mm-hmm.
And so it takes a humility. It takes a understanding of that. And then a woman coming in and saying, you know what? That's true. I need to get set free. And then it takes a man being a man enough to understand that from a spiritual perspective and then be willing, as long as a woman is submissive, to put that work in.
That's the key that you just said, as long as a woman is submissive, because the trouble that we have is that whenever a woman has all these different strands of DNA inside of her, all right, and it's not fair when you're in a covenant relationship with someone. It's not fair that that man or that woman have to deal with pains and hurts from the past.
Mm-hmm.
It should be a clean slate.
You're right.
Everybody should spend time getting themselves clean, getting themselves washed, getting themselves spiritually ready for the covenant they get ready to take on, because too many times more often than not, all of a sudden, you're marrying this woman, you know, because everybody in the beginning, they're deceiving each other. Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you.
Yep.
When you get finished after the marriage ceremony, after you get finished after
the boudoir,
the sex, whatever.
All right, let's pause for a second, my sisters. Who actually goes back and repents for alluring and seducing a man, you know? Who actually goes back and, other than this ministry, other than what they're teaching us, who goes back and deals with their mindset of equality, you know, never seeing anyone else as superior over you, but always believing yourself to be nose to nose to that man. You know, the belittling that you've done to men in your life creates a really negative stigma in your mind for the men going forward or anyone that you would meet. I'm going to read a couple of comments. It says, Shalom, Pastor and Elder. This comment is on the video that we're listening to. I'm one of these women, and I've been praying and wanting to be set free and healed from the inner torture and having all these multiple personalities and moods. So bless you, Pastor, and Straightway. Interesting. So here's a man that says, very deep talk right here. You won't hear this from any other ministry. Great stuff, Pastor and Elder. There's another one that says, I see so many women copying each other's actions. It's like they are all the same or trying to be the same. One more. Much of this is how we were raised by mothers who didn't know the truth and raised the daughters the way that they are. And the last one, it says, I heard this statement earlier this month. Quote, she gave away her best years for free and now later expects you to pay for it when it's always been free, right? So we got to go back
and we got to really seek Yah to restore the reverence that you should have for a man, but it can't be based upon the poor examples that you've come across. It's based upon the righteous men that you meet here. Jennifer?
Right. Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. If you don't deal with the past, it is very unfair for that righteous man to have to suffer for the things that you have not dealt with. Again, it's not good enough to put on a head cover or to put on a skirt to clean the outside of the cup, but on the inside, you're just full of so much sin from the past, you know, so full of so many things that you have not dealt with. And those things are going to come back. They're going to come up because they never left. You've never purged them from you. You've never gotten deliverance from those things. And again, it's unfair for a righteous man to pay the price for something that someone did 25 years ago. Sister Ashley?
Yes, ma'am. And we are given the opportunity as women in this ministry to become free only because of the men. And what I mean is, if you know, your attraction to a Hebrew man is completely different. His eyes are different. They're not he's not the man of the world. So a Hebrew man is searching for Yah. He's determined to find a good thing. And so because you have the strength of these men and I have the strength of my husband, you can overcome things that, left to yourself or without coverage or just without direction, you wouldn't have the opportunity. Does that make sense, Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. It makes perfect sense. You know, I often think about, you know, when these, you know, righteous men that we have, when these unions, when they come together, I think about the work that was put in to actually get us to the point of where we are, Sister Ashley, and to continue to keep us on the path of holiness and righteousness. You know, the women that that our husbands married, you know, they put a lot of work into us, a lot, and they continue to do that. And so that's why when you hear comments sometimes about, you know, it's just lust or, you know, things like that, it is so untrue. And you personally, you know within yourself that it's untrue, because they have put in the work to get us to a mentally, spiritually sound and stable state. Sister Ashley?
It's true. We should all have the testimony that I would marry me. You know, Pastor had asked that question a long time ago. It's like, I would marry me. Seriously. But years ago? No. You know what I mean? Five, six, 7 years ago? No. You know, I have that testimony now that if I was Deacon Bell, I would marry me, right? And that's how we should be, but also with respect to the work that they have put into us. So giving glory and honor to the Father for them in our lives. Let's go back to the video.
You get finished with that, then comes the lifestyle of living. Then all of a sudden, you are being accused of acting like that man that she used to be with.
Mm-hmm.
Or now you done done something like this man.
Yep.
And now she views you and say that you're no different than any other man, when the truth is, it's your offense.
Yep.
That you have refused to deal with and get clean and purged from.
Yep.
And then the women will all say, well, what about the man? Well, we'll get with that in another video, but right now we're at this subject right here.
All right, so let's go to an email. This is from Sister Betty, who along with three other sisters decided to willingly serve our security team, our shepherd, and all of our brothers that enjoyed the Great Awakening this past weekend. So Sister Betty had done a video in a private group with myself and some of the sisters, just really acknowledging the brothers, the men of the ministry. And I asked her, could she put it in words for an email? Could I read it? Because I wasn't going to play her video. And here it is. So she was super willing. These are her words. These are not mine or anyone else's. She's in Michigan. I'm in Tennessee.
She's been here, what, Sister Betty, three times? Is it three? She serves a mighty Elohim in Michigan, right where she's at. I serve the same mighty Elohim right in Tennessee, and we are one big family. There's nothing I wouldn't do for her or her for me, and same with my husband for her. So that's just how we are united in this ministry. So this says, Jennifer, are you ready to hear?
Yes, ma'am. I'm ready to hear.
All right. It says, Shalom, sisters. I am writing this letter to speak on and give recognition to the brothers of Straightway. I emphasize Straightway because oftentimes when Straightway is mentioned, there's a negative response when speaking on our brothers. During the last few days, I had the pleasure of serving our brothers along with my other Michigan sisters. This was a very enjoyable and also very eye-opening experience. This gave me the opportunity to have more personal interaction with my brothers. And let me tell you, we have some righteous and honorable brothers in this ministry. These brothers always get associated with being disrespectful towards women, with statements being made like, quote, all they do is order them around, tell them what to do, or they treat women like slaves and servants. But I'm here to say the very opposite. I've witnessed humbleness, caring, loving, respectful men in this ministry, just to name a few characteristics, all the way from pastor, the elders, and so on. And these brothers were these brothers were concerned with our well-being. They were very appreciative and consistently saying, thank you, sisters. They asked, how can I help you? You need me to do this? I hope I'm not asking for too much. You sisters are working hard. We appreciate y'all. I hope y'all get some rest. I also heard brothers saying how much they miss their families and their daughters and their wives, etc. Those are not words from cold-hearted men or men who abuse and misuse women. These men are righteous, and they care and love us just as much as we love them. And all they want is order according to Yah's way, and that is exactly what they deserve. I had a conversation with someone outside of the ministry who made the comment saying, oh, y'all were just there to accommodate and serve? And my answer was, yes, who else is going to do it? How do we look as a holy and righteous sister letting our men run around all day working, and then they come back home to cook their own meal, clean up, and wash the dishes? There's a balance. They have something to do, and we have something to do as well. Why would you even want to give them that task? We know what it means to serve and how honorable it is despite the thoughts of the people of this world. Pastor Dow has said many times during this conference that our women are in order, and we don't tolerate disrespect. But he also said the men are not to verbally or physically abuse the women, mistreat or disrespect them. Some people just want to go along with a certain narrative despite hearing the truth. And from my personal experience, I can vouch for them with confidence. I treat them as I know my other sisters would treat my husband if he was to go and visit. This is what this sisterhood and this faith is about, treating each other like family because we are family. And I just had to say this and give my personal experience, and I'm so glad that I had this opportunity. Bless you, Sister Betty, from the household of Brother Juan. Hallelujah. I cannot thank you enough, my sister, in words, for everything that you did, Sister Shay, Sister Lauren, and Sister Heather. Bless you all. Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. Sister Ashley, you know what? It is. It really is an honor that when – you know, the men are going when, you know, if your husband is being sent out on a trip with the ministry, it really is an honor and a relief to know that they're going to be taken care of wherever they go within the Straightway ministry, because you know how hard those women work. You understand the love that's in their heart, and there's no doubt that they're going to be taken care of. And so I so appreciate the order that Yah has established and the order that he has placed in the heart of every woman who desires to serve him within this ministry. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. So you, my sisters, have the exact same idea of Yahweh that you do for the men in your life, or if you have no man in your life, your idea of men is the same way and the same idea that you have of our Yah, the accusations that you have against your father in glory. So I hope that gives you some direction when you're trying to search through your thoughts and establish a firm foundation of repentance to get your mind right and focused on the Father, on His covenant, His love, and how different His thoughts and ways are, contrary to you, contrary to us. So let's go, Sister Jennifer, to the red carpet interview that was put up by Spiritual Combat, thanks to him and his wife and anyone else that might be listening that was a part of the Hebrews to Negroes meeting, the Great Awakening. Everyone that Elder Rufus and Pastor have already said great thank yous to on their videos. We just, as a ministry, as women backing them up, thank them greatly for everything they did and the full support. So let's go to the interview. You ready, Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. I'm ready, Sister Ashley.
All right, it's 8 minutes. I enjoyed it. This is really awesome. Some people got to meet and hear our shepherd for the very, very first time, and I was truly in tears as I just witnessed Yah sending his under-shepherd out to the wolves, really, but also to gather the sheep. So I was really in tears, and I know a lot of y'all were really, really grateful, too. Like, that's my shepherd. Hallelujah. He speaks really well, great wisdom. Here we go.
Hey, Shalom, Pastor Dalby, Brother Dawid Yehuda. We're here at the Hebrews to Negroes movie, part two.
Mm-hmm.
Share with the people the significance of this movie to you, and specifically, and the impact that you feel that it's having on the community.
Well, you know, our people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, because they reject knowledge, and now we're living in a day, the time and the hour that the Most High Yah is actually revealing His truth to all of us in these last days. And if we know that we're being destroyed for lack of knowledge, but we receive the knowledge, that means we won't be destroyed.
Correct.
So it's very important that people receive the truth and the knowledge of it. So, because coming to the knowledge of who we are, which the nations in this world despises and don't want us to have, they don't want us to know that. I think it's very a good tool for us to be able to come together as one. At least the inception of it has started.
Yes.
Not only bring a distance away from the pagan associations that we have all been influenced by in the past, but to continue to keep growing and come together as a community. So
if you notice, Sister Jennifer, and I know you kept up with, like most of us, you kept up with our shepherd, right, in the panels that he spoke on and the preachings and times that he was able to speak. He's very, very different from each person that was speaking. One time I thought to myself, they had like 7 minutes to speak, and each person was just passing the microphone along. And when it had gotten to Pastor Hinton, he said his piece for his 7 minutes. I'm thinking, wow, anyone after him should concede their time and give him their 7 minutes, you know? But anyway, what's your thoughts on him as a speaker and just representing the Most High Yah?
Sister Ashley, you know, just watching our pastor, he truly represents Yah wherever he goes. And, you know, I remember him getting past the mic and he said a few words and he just said, you know, I'm very humbled to be here. And that was it. And, you know, it just really kind of just blows you away at the humility, you know. Now, looking at it and understanding what our shepherd knows, and the understanding that he has, of course, he could have talked much longer. He could have spoken much, much longer, but he didn't. And there's so much wisdom in that, in what he does, not just what he says, but the way that he behaves, the way that he carries himself, and all that. There's so much wisdom in it, and there's such a different dynamic when, you know, our shepherd goes out. There's such a different dynamic when he's preaching, when he's teaching. And you just have to know and understand and look at how he operates in wisdom. But there's so many that actually miss that, you know, when you're actually watching him. Sister Ashley?
Yes, ma'am. And I can see how you would be on the outside looking in at our relations, our interconnections between male and female here, or brother and sister, or elder to brother, whatever, on the outside looking in and really not understanding those relationship boundaries. But something really beautiful happens when you come to the Father the correct way. And you can even find in the scripture those that met or had a great awakening moment with the Father, or if you want to say saw him or heard his voice. And for us as women, we try to exemplify the awe, A-W-E, the awe that we would have for our Creator by standing in awe and reverence of our husband or just the brethren. And I know that's a foreign concept to this world, but it has eternal dividends that really teaches you your limit as a woman, you know, where you should be, what you should be like. There was, of course, the time when the Father revealed himself through a burning bush to Moshe, you know, and he hid his face. He hid his face in total awe. And there's the time where, of course, John, he had the heart already that was, you know, I'm unworthy to even loosen his shoes, you know. And these concepts of humility and reverence are completely foreign to the hearts of women in this culture. They don't know what it even feels like. And so you can look at Daniel. Let's go there, Sister Jennifer, if you don't mind reading something for me. I really love his experience that he had with the Father. It's Daniel 10, verses 6 through 8. Daniel 10, 6 through 8. And I'll share also when Peter, James, and John, of course, were on Mount Transfiguration, and they had that moment of hearing the voice of Yah, and they fell on their face. You know, they fell on their face, and I think, you know, as women, that's how we need to be, in complete reverence to Yah, in reverence to his body, in reverence to his work and what he's doing. And the only way you show your reverence for the Father is through revering one another, our relationships. But are you there, Daniel 10, 6 through 8?
Yes, ma'am, I am, Sister Ashley. I'm ready. His body also was like the barrel, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength.
I really like the part where he says, my comeliness. Read it again. Read it in context.
Therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength.
That was it, corruption. Comeliness turned into corruption, and that's in a sense when you come to the Father the right way, and you're awakened to his righteousness, and you're shown his people, your comeliness and everything you've known, and your glamour and your vanity and your haughtiness, your looks, you know, your ability to allure, all the skills that you created or fed within yourself by your lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, all that comeliness, it turns into corruption. And that's what happens to us as women as we experience the real Messiah. No, we didn't hear his thundering voice. No, we didn't see a great lightning strike us or him in a burning bush. But it is the same awe when you hear his shepherd or when you're drawn to his people. It's the same response internally that for the first time, you are no longer drawn to the familiar spirits of, let me say it like this, when you see in the world, when you've seen a man, maybe he's at your job or he's in the streets or he's at the bar or the club or wherever, and you feel that compelling to dominate him, to seduce him, you know, with your body language or your eyes, and the way that you can pull him in is really like a fantasy world, you know, believing that you can dominate or control him just for that moment, that just sex moment, that you're on top of things.
that you're alluring is really powerful. All that means nothing. Nothing. You know, your whoredoms. The Father sees you for who you really, really are. There's videos you can look up online on how to do a perfect silent treatment for your husband or for a man. You can remove yourself in a great and subtle way, according to these videos, right? You can do it when it needs to be done and not overdo it so that you can always captivate and control him. Right? You can find how to use it properly. That's just one thing you can find. You can how to find a man, how to attract a man, how to allure a man. You can do all that, right? You can do all that. But here, we're going to teach you how to stand in awe of your husband, or at least to have that reverence for the brethren. Jennifer?
Sister Ashley, it's interesting that you talked about, you know, the videos that are out there, the things that they teach you. I was looking at a video the other day, and I was waiting for the video to play, and there was a commercial that came on, and it was talking about make him beg for your attention. Make him beg for your attention, and it was explaining exactly what you were talking about, how you can manipulate a man to beg for your attention. And there was a 2-minute video on this. There's a book. And it really is a very sad thing that we are here now in today's society, where there's books out about making him beg for your attention because women refuse to deal with pride, refuse to deal with rejection. You know, and just like when we read Sister Ashley in Daniel 10, and when it talked about, you know, he said, I retained no strength. And when you get to that moment with the Father, when you're in his presence, you know, the thing that you've depended on for so long, you know, the things that puff you up, the things that only Yah knows about you, the front that you put up, this facade, this fakeness that you put up, those things are gone. You know, they're gone. You're no longer puffed up. You don't have that strength. You don't have those crutches that you typically use. It's just you and Yah. And he sees right through you. It's a very transparent moment. Sister Ashley?
Very good. So it's not, how would I say it? It's not a lie, or it's not hidden to women that they have totally unrealistic standards for men. You know, that they have this checklist and belief that this man should do this, 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 and this, and if he don't, then he's this, you know. And so there's that constant warring in your mind to tear down the thing that you are instructed to build up. You can pay attention to the relationships. Even in the Word, you can find a few instances where there's a male-female or even female-to-Jesus relationship. And when you listen and read, you can see how dominant and masculine the man is, or that the Messiah, Jesus, was. And then you can see how contrary the women of our society are in comparison. For example, you have Mary Magdalene. Everybody knows, right? Most of us know that story where she's going to wipe her hair and clean his feet with her hair, with precious ointment, with her tears. That is such a humble state of heart that, you know, you put yourself in that place. You know, could you do it for your husband or your sister even? And then you can judge yourself by that and see how far you are from the nature of Christ. And Mary Magdalene, really, she loved Jesus by action. Right? And we talked about her, the instance before where she was crying when his body was gone. And there was two angels, and she didn't know that they were angels. And they were saying, you know, why are you crying? And she's saying, you know, someone's taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they put him. And so she turns, and then she sees Jesus,
right? And she's at the Messiah's tombstone or gravesite, right? And she sees Jesus, but she don't know it's Jesus. And Jesus asks her, why are you weeping? You know, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? And so she's thinking, in our translation, she's thinking he's the gardener. And she says, sir, if you lifted him from here, you know, if you lifted that man from here, tell me where you laid him. I want to take him away. So she's going even to honor his body, even after death, you know. And Jesus says, Mary. And then she speaks back and says, Master. But then Jesus says something really impactful next. Okay, and they're in conversation. They're just feet away from each other. And Jesus says, don't touch me. The translation says, touch me not. You know, don't touch me. He's got a different focus. And we know it's for spiritual reasons. He says, you know, I haven't ascended to my Father. And, of course, she goes and tells the disciples, but wait a second. He's completely sovereign in this relationship. He's saying, don't touch me, you know. So how many of you are going to be completely hurtful or hurt by the small, you know, not right now. Your husband can say the smallest thing, and it sends you spiraling into some rejection. You know, I don't got time right now. Let's talk later. Let's do that another day. Or whatever his focus is, that's sovereign. In my life, my husband's focus is sovereign. Jennifer, agree? Go ahead.
I completely agree, Sister Ashley. And, you know, a lot of times you look at the exchanges between the Messiah and the women in the book. You know, just like you can look at his exchange with the Canaanite woman. If you look at, you know, the reference that he used about, you know, the when he was talking about what she had desired, you know, she desired healing. She desired healing for her daughter. And his reference was that, you know, she wasn't fit. You know, that you know, you're not worthy, because he made the reference of her being a dog. And so if you look at today's society, and if you call a woman a dog today, what would the reaction be? Would it be as humble as what this woman's reaction was? You know, her reaction was very, very humble. And she humbled herself and said, you know, even the dogs get the crumbs off the master's table. And he received her humility. And he granted her her request because of her humility. So just like you're talking about the rejection that can overtake you in this exchange between, you know, the Messiah, it's just like that throughout the book. And if you think about your own reaction with the Messiah, what would my reaction be, Father? What would my reaction be with my master? What would my reaction be with, you know, with anyone? Would I spiral into this rejected state, or would I just understand what is being said and not take it personally? Sister Ashley?
Very well said. And to catch anyone up who's new to that account, the woman in Canaan was crying and crying. Now picture yourself in your desperate moments, how much you want somebody to help you, give you direction, right? Maybe you're a woman without a husband, and you're hurt and you're desperation, and she's crying out saying, have mercy on me. My daughter is vexed with the devil, and she's trying to be heard. She's crying out for this daughter of hers. And he didn't say anything. Our Messiah was like, psh, he ignored her. I don't know what he thought. It doesn't say. It just says he ignored her. It says he answered her not a word. And even his disciples knew order. His disciples knew interaction between each other. If you pay attention to the small details, they were saying, send her away. You know, she's crying after us, send her away. But even in that, if you don't, let me say it like this. They could have sent her away, right? But they know chiefly when he's present, he's going to be the one to make that decision. So they could have said, go on somewhere. You know, get the hell out of here. But they're waiting on his direction. They're asking him, you know, send her away. She's crying after us. And so Jesus,
he has said to her, you know, I'm here for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's who I'm here for. And she just comes begging and worshiping, relentless, you know, just help me, help me. And that's when he said, I'm not going to take this meat and give it to a dog, you know, which is her. He's talking to her, I'm not going to give this to you, dog, you know, you bee. But she says with complete humility, even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. Like, she desires help that much. And I think that's us as women sincerely needing to recognize the help that we need and not staying, you know, out of role or puffed up in our pride, believing that we got it together, that we don't need this man or this shepherd to lead me or this elder to give me direction or whatever the case may be. There's thousands of videos that you can sit in front of and get direction. It doesn't take one-on-one. And yes, you can hit your knees and have a personal relationship with the Father, but he's going to minister his answers through this ministry. Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. And, you know, when you come into this ministry, you really have to take your time and sit down and do your due diligence and look at the website, look at the YouTube videos, you know, go through. There's so much wisdom on the website. There's so much wisdom on YouTube. There's so much wisdom on Patreon. There's so much there, and you really owe it to Yah to really just dig into all that information. There's so much. You know, it's so easy for us to ask somebody else, you know, to send an email, and we don't mind that. We don't mind being asked questions. But if you get the personal experience yourself and you get it in your heart yourself, it really means so much more. It means so much more than somebody telling you, you know, than me telling you why I cover my head. You have to have that personal conviction in your heart so that you can truly understand why you're covering your head, why you're dressing modestly, why you're submitting to your husband. You know, you have to understand that and have that personal conviction in your heart so that it's something that nobody can take away from you. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. So, you know, your greatest need is salvation. That's your greatest need on earth. And your sexual desires as a single woman join every other part of all of our lives. Your appetite for food, your use of money, your friends list, your dreams and aspirations and what you want to do, you know, your abilities and your family, all that. As I said, your sexual desire goes into that big pot, and it all bows down before the one true living Elohim, all of it. So, you know, some really oppose us because we wait. As a ministry, we wait to get married 6 months, 3 years, 1 year, just until someone who is going to vouch as a father for you is going to be able to give you, you know, instruction. And so is it wrong to ask and seek and knock for a husband and children? Absolutely not. That's your desire. But what is the effort to get that supposed to look like, right? That's what you ask yourself. Should you be compelled to make that desire your chief focus and your priority and nothing's going to stop you? Because in that case, and we've seen it in, even in this ministry, when you're not willing to have that desire bow before the Father, you're going to wind up in a situation that you really wish you hadn't got into. And for Israel, for whatever reason, we like to repeat over and over. We like to experience things and go through them and go through the pain and not heed to warnings. So some, yes, they're going to remain offended because we're told to wait. But even Joseph knew not Mary until she birthed Jesus. That's 9 to 10 months of refraining for that man and that woman. She's carrying our Messiah, you know. So refraining should what, Jennifer? Refraining should what?
Refraining, Sister Ashley, brings such a protection. Again, it is the order of Yah. And so you have to really learn how to control your own desires, your own thoughts, your own ways, you know, just like the Messiah said that, you know, our thoughts are not his thoughts and our ways are not his ways. And we have to understand that we have to submit ourselves to his ways instead of, you know, coming about our own way and then stopping and after we've done something, praying and asking him to bless it. And that is completely out of order. So again, if we remain in his order, then we are protected. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. So there are times when spirits inside of listeners or followers or just drive-by individuals, spirits inside of them will be frustrated that we elevate the men or that we speak highly of them or that we ask each of you to honor them or that we teach reverence. And for once tonight, I want to share an email that actually speaks so highly of the women that I cried because it's not me it's talking about, it's us, you know? And so this email I'm going to read, I'm going to try not to cry, and some of you might be like, oh, okay, why'd you even cry at that? But it's so monumental for the Father to change us and to do the mighty work that he's doing in us. It's just not a light thing. It's something we would not have done on our own. And Yah is so meticulous. You know, he's meticulous in building up and he's meticulous in destroying. And I have a email from one of the security team members,
our brother Cross.
His name is Brother Cross. If you haven't seen him, you will. And he was one of the group that was willing to lay down their life. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. Pastors hated across this nation. He's hated. And you don't know what's going to happen when you go out to protect someone like that. And as Pastor said before, you know the pattern. You know what happens to colored people, CP, he said. But colored people, you know, when they speak the way that he does and has any kind of following, it can get dangerous. And it already is. But to Yah be the glory for his angels and encamp around those that fear him and for the prayers of the saints. So tonight, I want to read this letter. Guest call in. I'm going to say it again. Guest call in if you need us. 310-982-4226. Press 1 if you need to talk to us. If not, this is all I'm going to have for you. I did have a couple of, you know, clips to play. I wanted to finish the red carpet interview, but I could tell that the background noise of the interview was really distracting tonight. So I didn't finish that one. You can go check out the Hebrews to Negroes Great Awakening. A lot of it is on Spiritual Combat's YouTube channel. Don't forget KJB 94 TV. I always say J. Sorry. It's KG. Okay? It's G. Not J. KGB 94 TV. Don't forget him. Go subscribe. Pay close attention to our brother Kabir and what he's got going on up there, getting the message out. Shout out to Praiseland. So, Sister Jennifer, let's delve into the email. Are you ready to hear?
Yes, ma'am. I'm ready to hear.
And this was sent to straightwayhelpmeets@gmail.com. Did you get a chance to read it?
I did, Sister Ashley. It was very heartfelt. Very beautiful letter. I'm ready.
All right. Wonderful. Shalom, shalom, brothers and sisters, pastors, elders, and the living, breathing, obedient body of Straightway Ministries. Brother Cross here. I'm so very thankful for the strong brothers in spiritual arms that I have, along with the support and example of obedience and modesty that I have in the sisters. I was highly encouraged and inspired when coming home to Straightway after delivering our pastor to safety. To set eyes upon each or such righteous examples of the Most High's will in action was both a blessing and an honor. It's easy to say that I'm biased about our sisters, but one need not take my word for it. These sisters should be seen with one's own eyes, with the Spirit confirming. I first saw Sister Ashley at the dining hall, and then it hit me that I was again looking at holiness and strength.
And when I scanned the room and saw the rest of the sisters in perfect garb, in leisure, at study, at work, or even in greeting, it's not that I've not seen these sisters before, but after the week I've had, setting eyes on qualities such as modesty, a meek and quiet spirit, diligence in honorable servitude, not to be confused for slavery, I was reminded of just how far above the rest that these sisters really are. Many hold fast to the name Hebrew or Israelite, but I remember putting on a shirt and calling myself the same many years ago. So when did it change? Well, when I began to put into action the word, doing the things that please Yah, obeying his instruction, learning to hold fast to his statutes and losing the love of the world in doing so. And like them, for we too are brides unto Christ, to be obedient and drabbed in holiness. Not only does our outer garb change, but so does our speech, our mindset, and our activities. 1 Timothy 2:9. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Costly array, huh? Skin-tight second layers, skirts just above the knee, and broidered hair is all I saw this week. All of that was followed by loud mouths. This is a perfect example of why people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Those women who call his name and claim the heritage of his people should know better. The math is simple. It doesn't add up. And they know that they are not his. And their direct disobedience, stubbornness, and proud, deceiving lips, pretending to offer conversation when their intent is to teach and toss in a little preach. And all the while, failing to keep a hold of a head covering that should have been in place better. It may as well have not even been on. Their examples were a mess and poor an example to younger sisters in desperate need of direction. And to top it off, several of the sisters attempted to holler. They treated this important period of time, a great awakening to a lineage, surpassing that of just blackness, but like a bad cookout. We are Israel, people, and do not get me wrong, I'm very much a man. The eyes are easily pleased, but the spirit wants something Yah would pick out of the crowd, not pick over. If we are to be his, we need to be his, not act like it. I wish our sisters had been able to show up, to gift the rest of Israel who were there, a true example of a godly woman. Now, again, not because I say so, but because they do so. They thwart the Jezebel spirit and not embrace it. They do not employ witchcraft, but rebuke it. Now, referring to the Michigan weekend, here he goes again, okay? I like this. Referring to the meeting, and some of you weren't there, so there's things that you might not understand or pick up on, but it's easy to detect, so pay attention. It says, I remember hearing so much uplifting of the women that the act well past Jezebel and kept going without looking back. And these so-called women who dare to preach or who gather in support of them disregard his holy word in favor of their own worldly desires. Doctrines reinforced by diplomas or certificates, accolades. They mistake a man walking firm in his role for oppression. Even when Yah's word itself tells the woman to remain silent, that is why Pastor says they hate Yah, not him. He's voicing what's been concrete since the beginning. It's sad, but I also know that if these so-called Israelite women gave our beloved pastor foul looks, manifesting bitterness and envy, everything but meekness, I can only believe they'd have done the same to our sisters, if not worse. Denying our sisters in their meekness is forcing an implication of weakness. It's misrepresenting a spirit in them that's loved by the Most High for something less than deserving of respect. And those women forget that Yah instilled us with specific roles. He shaped us, he formed us for them.
To say otherwise is to deny him. To ignore them rather than embrace them is shirking one's duty and tossing aside obligation. These are the sisters that you make wives with, that help build homes, that then build nations, not tearing them down with the hands of hubris, that become mothers who strengthen our lineage and the coming generations with scriptures and confidence in a future blessed by Yah, because they held fast to his teachings and they grew up with them, knowing not the ways of the world. The helpmeets that fulfill the work of Yah with man, not vexing him sorely with arrogance and haughty behavior, all too often incorrectly labeled as a strong woman. You want a strong woman? Seek Sister Sakina, or Nicola, or Sister Jordan, who even in her youthfulness is wiser than their best certificate holder, or Mother Carol, or Nellie, who put in the work daily at pastor's side and without him, or Sister Soon, who killed the three-point competition and had not one slip with her head covering or her modesty. And her spirit was all smiles, never once mistaking her for a brother. And Sister Betty, Heather, and Shay, for many tremendous meals, and for singing to the brethren every hour as we watched over one another and our shepherd. And the list goes on, and our sisters are deserving of praise, especially since it's earned. I love our sisters, each and every one of them. That's why I think the most of them and want the best for them. May they be blessed by Yah for their obedience and example, particularly when they do their absolute best to fall into step with his word. Shalom, Israel. Keep on running. Jennifer?
It was a very good letter, Sister Ashley. You know, it really was an honor to watch the representation of our men. And because of that, it's like we were there. You know, our men went and they represented the ministry. They represented Straightway. And that is a beautiful letter. And I can't add anything to it, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. No callers in the queue, so let's wrap it up. I would hope that as we go forward, the more men you hear give the testimony that says, I thought I was a man until I met one, or till I came here, or till I visited, or till I saw the men and the brothers. I thought I was a man. And we need more testimonies from the women. And I don't mean calling in. I don't mean standing up and testifying. I don't even mean sharing a video. I just mean in heart. We need more of us to say, I didn't know that I wasn't a woman. I didn't know that I was out of order, that I was out of my role. I didn't know, but now I know. You know, this ministry showed me. That's what we need in our hearts. So I bid you shalom, Israel. Jennifer, end the show.
Bless you, daughters of Zion. I hope y'all just really reflect on this broadcast, reflect on the conference, reflect on the character of our men, because they truly represent the bride. And that is exactly what our relationship with Yah should look like. Shalom.
I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding.